Hello and welcome back to season two of the Actors Toolkit podcast through the Odair Academy. Today we are joined by one of our all-time favourite casting directors who we've worked with a lot in the past. It's Shakira Dowling. Shakira, how are you doing?
Good, yeah, thanks for having me.
No problem, we're delighted to have you. So the first question that we ask everybody on the podcast, first of all, who is Shakira Dowling? Can you tell us a little bit about you and your career so far?
That's a good question. Well, I started life as an actress. I went to drama school, and once I left, I started my own theatre company, which I was casting all my shows at, of course, at that time. Went on to working for a West End producer and started doing a bit of casting for him. And then eventually, many years later, opened up Shakira Dowling Casting and have been doing mainly feature films, lots of independent films, and more recently television, as everyone is doing more television.
That's very true. Fantastic. And what are you working on at the moment? Don't tell us any secrets, obviously, but...
A couple of films. I've had three start shooting this month, so it's been really busy. And a television series, but yeah, it's for a streamer, an international series. So lots of international casting, shooting here and in South Africa. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's quite exciting.
And you were just in Toronto last week. How was that?
Oh my God, it was lovely. The weather was amazing. I love Toronto. Yeah, it was really cool. I lived there as a young child, so lots of family there to see and yeah, lots to do.
And the last time we met you was when you did workshops for us through the Academy, but that was pre-pandemic. How have you seen the industry changing since the pandemic?
More self-tapes, as I'm sure you've seen from your end. It's now the norm that the first round of casting is on self-tape, whereas before it wasn't. This is a plus and a minus for you guys, really. I mean, you don't have to be in London to audition anymore. You don't have to get yourself to London at a certain time or miss the opportunity. So it's great. We get to cast the net a bit wider than we would have normally cast. Also helps when people are already shooting something because they can record it in their, you know, lunch break or after shoot. And there's obviously a lot of people there who can help out with reading in. I think actors worry that we're seeing more people for each role, but I personally, not much more.
Okay.
Not even 10% more, to be honest. Maybe we'll take a chance on a few people as well, which is really good because there's a couple of like left field ideas that I'll throw in there just to see, you know, whether it lands. And sometimes it does.
Yeah, I know. And of course, you could, like you say, you can spread the net wider. So you can see people not just in London, you know, maybe out with Europe a little bit more.
And it's exactly. To do it. Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's either easy for you guys to represent actors who are, you know, further afield.
Yeah, 100%. One thing I've noticed is the self-tape is great because we get more of them. We get more opportunities for our actors to get seen, but there's so much more admin. How are you finding that side of it?
Yeah, I think we've nailed how that works now. Okay. It took a while because it is a lot of uploading, downloading, etc., etc. And especially when my clients are sometimes, again, they might be in India or, you know, in America or wherever, and sometimes they don't have great Wi-Fi, so we have to transfer the files differently. So yeah, I think we've got it sorted. I'm still waiting for Spotlight to come up with a better solution, which they really should, because other platforms have. And since that's the one we use most in the UK, it really would be easier if it was on their platform too.
And the talking about self-tape auditions, obviously back when the pandemic hit, nobody really knew, you know, some people had self-taped before, but there were so many courses out there, how to do the perfect self-tape. I know Spotlight, where we're doing a lot of videos on how to do the perfect self-tape. What do you think is an ideal self-tape? What kind of things are you looking for from it?
To be honest, it's all about performance more than anything else. I mean, it could be badly filmed or badly recorded. I mean, that's annoying, but it's not going to stop you getting the job. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've had audition tapes where, you know, some five-year-old boy is reading in because that's all there was available during pandemic. And it's fine because I'm still seeing the performer, you know, create a character and bring something to the role. for me, that's more important than anything else. You know, as long as the cat isn't walking across your screen while you're recording and I can't see you. And make sure we can see your eyes. I mean, that's one thing I often think, the eye line might not be right. And we just lose quite a lot if we can't see your eyes.
Mm-hmm. And are there any turnoffs that you have about self-tapes? Is there something that actors do in a self-tape and you think, oh God, no, please don't do that?
Overuse of props, I suppose, can be just distracting more than anything else. Yeah, it's fine if you've got a cup of tea in front of you, use a cup of tea. But when it gets a little bit too busy, yeah, it takes away from what we really want to see, which is the emotion and the character.
Yeah, and a kind of contested part of it that I find with our actors is, how much do you like a character, an actor, to try and embody the character with regards to costume and you know, that kind of side? Because I'm 50-50 on it. You know, we've had obviously actors cast where they've made no hint to the costume whatsoever, and then we've had some who've gone in full makeup. You know, there was one that sort of struck me that he was playing a train driver and he had black charcoal on his face, and you know, he had, you know, dirt on his shirt and things, and he ended up getting the job. So you never know, you know. What's your opinion on it?
I always think a hint at the character, you know, maybe a brighter red lipstick or some big hoop earrings if that's the type of character you're playing, but nothing too much. I think men, you know, a shirt collar does make a difference if you're going for that type of role, as opposed to a t-shirt. I'm really against hoodies, by the way, because I lose your neck. You just, everyone looks a bit scrunched up. Often if we're in the room and any boys or girls come in with a hoodie, I just say, have you got a t-shirt under there? Can we take off the hoodie completely? Which sometimes takes people by surprise. It's just, if you lose that neckline, you lose, you know, it really does bunch you up. It bothers me anyway. That's my pet hate, pet peeve. But yes, a hint. I think a hint.
Collars, yeah. Obviously, you know, professional collar, if you're playing a lawyer or a doctor or a teacher or something, can make a big difference. Yeah. So obviously, once you get past the self-taping section of the audition, nowadays a lot of the recalls are actually done on Zoom rather than in person. How have you found the whole Zoom experience?
We don't like doing them, but to be honest, a lot of my directors tend to be in another country anyway, so often we are doing callbacks on Zoom. I try and encourage directors to be more of a creative chat and before the read, and if they need a read at all, to be honest, because it is about the chemistry even between you and the director, and whether the director feels they can work with you, and also whether you react to, you know, their vibe in a way. I know that's a terrible word, but do you know what I mean? It is, we're creating a family at the end of the day. You go off and make a movie and then the family disperses again. It really does need to feel like you can connect with the director and the director can connect with you, and you come up with some creative ideas together. So I do try and encourage directors to, you know, take the time with that before we go into a read, if possible. Not all directors are open to it, of course. And if they're bigger names type thing, then yes, all directors will want to take the time to get to know the actor before we employ them. Yeah. But they've usually made their mind up quite quickly.
Mm-hmm. And are there any kind of big mistakes that you notice actors making in Zoom recalls?
Not being themselves, like feeling that they're performing when they're actually just having a chat, you know? It is about you. What you bring to the role is your experience and who you are as a person and where you grew up and how you normally talk. You know, all of those things feed into what you create. Mm-hmm. And your experiences are completely different to the next person who is going for the same role and what they're bringing to it. And I think actors tend to feel like they're performing on Zoom straight away, you know, as opposed to, if I was in spotlight and into the waiting room, went, how are you? You're all right. Yeah. How was your day? You know, how was the travel here or whatever? stopping that. Sorry, there's an alarm going off next to me. So I think, yeah, I think that it's harder for you to be yourselves on Zoom.
Yeah. And do you find, have you had actors coming into a Zoom audition in character and trying to, you know, that used to be a thing when 20 years ago, when you go into an audition, like, you know, actors trying to come in character and speaking in a different accent, you know, I think.
No, that's... not so much on that, actually. That hasn't happened at all, to be honest.
Oh, really? That's good, Danny. maybe it's a bit of a dated thing. So when it comes, obviously, before getting the audition, there's the whole point of networking. This is one of the things that I find actors just don't get right at all, or they worry too much about. When it comes to networking, what kind of things do you like? Do you like actors reaching out to you, or?
Only when they've got something to say, to be honest. Otherwise, those emails get lost in the hundreds of others that come through that day. So if you're inviting me to a show, or if you're saying I'm on the telly on Wednesday, just don't do it too far in advance, because you know, a month before, it's never gonna, you know, connect with me. Whereas if it's, you know, next Wednesday I'm in Corrie and then it's on iPlayer and I'll send you a link after that, then you've got, you know, you're promoting something that is actually tangible. There's a call to action. I think that's it. If there's a call to action, then send an email. If there is just a general, hi, I'm whoever and I come from wherever and I've just finished this drama school and I've just done 3 short films and a fringe show, it's like, okay, and what do you want me to do with this email now? You know?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. What's the next one? Yeah, onto with networking. When it comes to Twitter, obviously a lot of casting directors use Twitter. And one of my bugbears when looking at casting directors' Twitters is, you know, remembering casting directors use it personally as well. So, you know, you'll see a casting director saying, oh, I've just had the most lovely chocolate cake. And then you have hundreds of actors commenting saying, I once played a chocolate cake at the National Theatre, you know, or I love chocolate. Do you find that a lot, or do you use social media?
I used to tweet a bit more than I do now, to be honest. Bailey, my assistant, runs most of my social media. So she does, we use Instagram a lot more than we'd use Twitter now. But we will tweet if we have casting calls as well. So I tend to avoid those conversations because I've had in the past, you know, a few, and it's very easy to have a whole barrage of negative comments. I think once I tweeted, you know, actors, please don't send 10x8 photos in emails. It takes up too much space. You know, something like that. Mm-hmm. And oh my God, the hatred that came back at me, you know, it's like, well, you are literally putting a full size photo and 3 videos inside an email. What are you expecting? you know, a happy applause for that. No. So I tweeted something like that and it was, I had to turn it off, to be honest, because I was like, okay, clearly I should not speak.
Yeah, it seems everybody has an opinion. Yeah, it's crazy. Right, next question. What's your career highlight and why was it your highlight?
That is so hard. I get asked this all the time. I get really passionate at whatever I'm actually working on at the moment. So by the time it comes out, practically 2 years later, I've forgotten what that casting was like. And I've forgotten about that job. I love script. To be honest, I choose project because of the script. If I don't like a script, I will actually say this one's not for me, just like actors should do, to be honest. If you're not passionate about the script, don't take the job. Don't just take it unless they're paying you a lot of money. There's no point. It's not going to move your career on. If the love's not there, don't try and make that work. I have done that in the past, you know, at the beginning of my career, and it's just not worth it. The headaches it gives you is not worth it. So yeah, what is my highlight? I don't know, to be honest. That's a really difficult one. I think probably the first time I was, I don't know, at Toronto Film Festival or at Sundance, you know, the first time I had a film in those A-list festivals. Yeah, it's exciting. Of course, it's exciting, you know.
Yeah, I think a lot of actors forget that casting directors have to pitch just in the same way that the actors do. What's that process like? Maybe dispel a few myths for us.
It depends, really. It's very, very subjective to the project. Some projects just come to me because I've worked with the director before, or I've worked with the producer before, or someone from another production has passed on my details, in which case it's generally more of a chat to see if, well, again, I'll read the script, come up with a few ideas, and we'll have a chat, and then they'll speak to my agent and negotiate, you know, similar to they would if you were offering an actor a job. On other jobs, we do pitch. We know they're generally seeing about 3 casting directors. That seems to be the magic number, especially if it's like BFI funded, because obviously they have to do a quota on, you know, how they employ because of their national lottery funding, etc. And then it's, again, it's potluck, to be honest. It's just like it. Just like for you guys, it's like you haven't done anything right or wrong. It's just that they gelled more with somebody else, and that's fine.
Yeah, yeah. And
I actually know I'm not going to get a job as well. I mean, I'll still do the pitch because I really like the director, or I really am excited by the director's work. Mm. But I kind of know this is going to be cast by a male casting director. You know, you have that feeling. It's like, this is boys' toys. They're not going to choose me. I will do my best, but they won't choose me.
Yeah. And so do you think a lot of it comes down to the actual pitch itself, or is it mostly based on the things that you've done before, your experience?
No, it comes down to whether you gel with the director and producer and whether they think that you would work for this project. Most of the time they'll come back to you with another project at a different time because it just wasn't the right project.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Okay. Can you remember a really memorable audition that you've had, and why was it memorable? Any horror stories that you've got?
I do remember one that was really weird. It was very weird, actually. It was the end of the day, quite late, and it was definitely in the winter, and I was the only one in the building. I remember that. So I had an office and a casting suite that I was sub hiring from an agent, actually. So usually it was a very busy space, but they'd all gone home or to a show or something, and I was on my own, so I didn't even have a receptionist, I think. And this last actor came in, and it was for like a Zulu, how do you say, magician type person,
like a shaman
and this actor came in, didn't speak to me, took off his top and had full body makeup and turned on the music and started. And I was like, oh my God, I'm not really comfortable right now just because I'm alone. But it was the most amazing, amazing performance. And it was a performance like from start to finish, as though you were watching a show almost. Just incredible. And of course he got the job.
Yeah.
I did have that moment of, okay, what's happening here? I don't feel in control. And that's not me. I'm a bit of a control freak, to be honest. So yeah, that was quite memorable. And he finished the audition, and then he had this like Birmingham accent. He was just like the most down-to-earth Brummy boy. And I was like, oh my God, that's like total opposite. Total. It was, yeah, it was pretty cool.
So sometimes coming in character and doing that does work.
Yeah. Well, I think because it was such an extreme character as well, you know, it was not your norm in any way. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. One of the things that a lot of actors ask me, especially when I'm interviewing casting directors, how do you find actors for your projects? I mean, obviously we know that, you know, a lot of casting directors will list them on Spotlight, or, you know, what's that process like? Because I think a lot of actors don't see it from a casting director's point of view, and they don't format their profiles in the way that casting directors need them formatted. What's your experience of that? And how does the process go from start to finish?
Well, if we're talking about a very normal role in a very normal film or television, as opposed to something more, you know, more out there, we would put the breakdown out on Spotlight with a synopsis. And that's what agents get to see, and a character brief. agents submit their clients. So let's say there's, I don't know, 1,000 entries for that role. Then we would go through and I kind of maybe 100, you know, tick the maybe box. So then it creates a sub list. And then I'll go through my maybes and see out of those 100 who I actually want to see for this. Some actors on there, I will know their work anyway, or I've cast them before, or I've seen them in a workshop. Or so my investigation on them, their CV, is easier because I don't need to really sit and watch the whole show reel. I can, you know, I immediately go, oh yeah, it was him. Yes or no, or not for this one, or maybe for another role in the same film. But if I don't know them, they're fresh to me, then yes, I will watch as much of their showreel as I can. I don't watch it from start to finish. It's not a short film. It's not a narrative. So if I'm looking for, I don't know, a nurse, then I would be clicking between each scene to see something that feels more nurturing, whether there's some other role that they're doing, or maybe, you know, maybe even a receptionist role, but the way they come across seems kind of in line with the character that I'm, you know, I'm casting. And then they'll go into my yes, let's get them to tape file.
Yeah, and I think the actual process on Spotlight, a lot of actors forget that all you see at the in the first instance is this tiny little thumbnail of the headshot. And so many actors format their headshots wrongly, or you know, they're too dark, or you know, you need to stand out in that thumbnail.
Yes, because you'll have, I think it's 5 across and 3 down as you're scrolling. So yeah, you are this small. So the headshot is really important. It's the first sort of opening window of whether I do open your CV or not.
And what kind of things stand out for you in a headshot?
It's such a subjective, to be honest, it really is so subjective. I don't have any favorite photographers. If people ask that all the time, it depends where you are in your career as well. It just needs to be representative of you. It doesn't need to be the prettiest picture of you. It needs to be, I walk into the waiting room and I don't need to go, John, sorry, who's John? I need to actually go, oh, hi, how are you? Because you look exactly like your headshot, exactly like your showreel. And I know what I'm going to get in the room. And I know girls do cut and colour their hair, etc. If you're going for a commercial, especially, you know, until those new headshots come through, your agent has to be on the ball enough to say she's gone, you know, brunette because she just did another job. Mm-hmm. Is that okay? Because, and half the time, if that happens, I'm like, just get them to send a selfie or just pop a selfie on WhatsApp to me, just so I can just double check it's right for this one.
And last season, we interviewed a headshot photographer who made the point that you need to keep it consistent throughout your profile. So there's no point having headshots that look nothing like you in your showreel.
No, exactly. In your showreel, obviously, older actors will have work that is from their younger years, especially if they're coming back to work after having babies or whatever. And yeah, that's forgiving in a way. But again, take out the teenage stuff, you know, keep it as sort of similar roles that you would still get.
How do you think an actor can go about making waves in the industry? So we use the term making waves. I don't know why we use that one, but how do you think an actor can go about being noticed amongst the 80,000 that are on Spotlight?
Create your own work. There's no other way, I don't think. Create your own work. Don't stop working. Just because you haven't got a job doesn't mean you shouldn't be working on your own projects, writing your own short films, whatever it is. Continue to be creative, because as soon as you stop and you're just waiting for the phone to ring, then, you know, you're putting your career on hold until the phone rings or until you've got another self-tape in. And actually, the actors I know, you know, who are working a lot, they tend to have 3 different projects on. They tend to do a lot of script readings for people, or they get themselves involved with things elsewhere, whether it's doing voiceovers or reading, you know, audiobooks or anything to just keep that creative part of them going.
Yeah, or even reading in auditions. You know, yeah. A lot of actors will write to a casting director and say, look, I'll come and read in for you.
Exactly. Find creative things to do.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Okay. This is a question that we ask everybody that comes on the podcast, and I love the answers because we never get the same answer. But if you could change one thing about the industry, what would it be and why?
I would say funding for independent film in this country is so scarce. And there only is one funding body, really. Personally, if you look at other countries, there is so much more options, and we aren't giving those new filmmakers the chance that they should have.
So definitely funding. Okay. And last question, if you could give actors one piece of advice, what would it be?
Ooh, that's a good one. Well, I love actors, I have to say. I mean, that's why I do what I do. So I would say go into an audition not as though you're going into an interview. Just your job there is to perform, to create this character, to do the job, basically. If you get the role, that's great. If you don't, you've come in and you've done what you were meant to do.
That's great. I watched an interview with Bryan Cranston the other day, and that was one of his pieces of advice. Auditioning is your job.
Yes.
Getting in the room. Once you're in the room, that is your job. So do your job. You know, don't worry about the getting the job. Don't worry about, you know, just go in and do your job.
I think the hardest thing is to just go in, do it, and then walk out and just say, great, I'm in Covent Garden. I'm going to go and meet a friend for lunch. It's not about waiting to see if I've got a call back, not about waiting to see if they liked me or some news. Then your mental health as well will be so much stronger.
Well, Shakira, that's been absolutely brilliant. We love having you into the Academy. So thanks very much for joining us. And we'll speak to you again soon.
Thank you.